And you're realizing that you're looking at and tone of voice and thinking about my approach, I guess, in the past, and how I've looked and thought about the book of Proverbs. I remember one Christmas when one of my nephews was expo, I think he was maybe 4 years old, and it was Christmas time, and my sister was trying to get him to eat Brussels sprouts for the first time. He'd never eaten Brussels sprouts before, and he was highly suspicious of them, as you can imagine, it says. He was highly suspicious, and she tried to talk him into it. I don't know if you ever tried to talk a child into eating something they don't want to eat, or doing anything they don't want to do. It took a lot of persuasion. Eventually, she got to the point of the argument where she said, if you eat Brussels sprouts, if you eat a Brussels sprout, you'll get to be big like your Uncle David. And I was quite chuffed with that. And he looked at me, and he was amazed, and his eyes got big, and he thought, oh, amazing. And he went to the Brussels sprout, and he put it in his mouth, and he kind of pressed it with it, and he chewed it, and he swallowed it, and then he looked at himself. And my sister and I realised he's completely misunderstood. He kept on watching himself. And then we just realised he'd been tricked. And he saw in his face, he just kind of fell apart. He was so upset that when she said, "You'll grow big to be like your Uncle David," that was a case of years. It's a process. It's something that's going to take time. When he thought he was going to be this magic bullet, that all of a sudden he would eat one Brussels sprout and this almost like, remember Super Mario used to take a mushroom and get pinched to me. Along the time, people can approach the book of Proverbs in that same kind of way of read this book and then you'll be wise. Actually, it's not really like that. It's not an overnight thing. It's a journeying with God. That's what I'm talking about over the next few minutes. It's a journeying with the God of the universe and learning to walk with him and in accordance to his principles. It's something that takes time. It's something that develops. It was originally, a long time ago, used to teach Jewish boys wisdom. They would come and they would learn all of these proverbs. And you see, if you read the book of Proverbs, quite often wisdom is talked about as being a person. And sometimes wisdom is even talking to you in the book. And it's this idea of viewing wisdom the way that you view a person. Viewing a person that you want to grow closer to or want to know better, somebody you want to love or grow closer to. You'll never fully arrive there. There'll never be a moment where you say, "Right, I now know it all." But actually, it's a process. There's always more to discover. So that's something to bear in mind that we're going to build on the next few moments. Last week, Rob focused in on Proverbs chapter 1. And tonight we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 2, just 10 verses of Proverbs chapter 2. Here's what it says. It's on the screen if you've not got access to a Bible on your phone or anything. It says, "My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the paths of the just, and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy." First of all, I want you to notice how the book of Proverbs, how the Bible talks about wisdom as being something incredibly precious, incredibly valuable. There are two sons I want to tell you about, two sons of King David. You'll know probably more about one than the other, but one of the sons was called Absalom. And if you know anything about Absalom, you know that the people loved him, the people of his country loved him. He was a prince, and everyone loved it. It says he stole the hearts of the people. But he grew up and he went to betray his father. He wanted to be king instead of his father. And so he called this big, he had this big rebellion. And he got all these people on his side, and these armies on his side, and these wise men on his side. And he took them into Jerusalem. And King David found out they were coming, and King David decided to flee into the wilderness, as he'd done when he was younger. But the thing that King David was more afraid of, more than the armies, more than how much people loved Absalom, King David talks about one of the wise men who had gone with Absalom. One of the wise men who had turned against David, his name was Ahithophel. And it said that he was one, when he spoke to him, it's like you were speaking to God. It's like you were hearing the words of God. He was so wise. That is the thing that David was afraid of. He wasn't afraid so much of the other things that Absalom had going for him. He was afraid that he had this wisdom at his disposal. And so what King David does is he takes one of his most trusted people, and when he's fleeing off into the wilderness with all his men, he says to this trusted friend of his, he says, stay in Jerusalem and pretend like you've betrayed me. And go to Absalom, my son, and try to give him advice. And whatever Ahithophel says, you say the opposite of that. And so that's what happens. His son Absalom comes into Jerusalem. He takes over Jerusalem, and straight away he's got to start making decisions. He needs to decide, am I going to go after David? Am I going to go out into the wilderness and kill him? And so he brings his most trusted people around him. He asks Ahithophel, this wise man, and the wise man says, go now, go and kill your father, go and get him while he's not ready, while he's unprepared, go and do it now. But David's friend, he says, no, don't do that. You don't want to do that. What David's friend does is he appeals to his pride. He says, all the people will love you. They love you so much, stay here, and they'll love you even more. If you go out into the wilderness, then people will see that you're trying to kill your father, they'll turn against you. And so he appeals to his pride, and then he appeals to his fear. And says, and your father's a trusted warrior, and you don't want to go up against him, you want him just to leave, and you just leave him alone. And Absalom has this moment where he's got to decide whose counsel is he going to take. Is he going to take the wise counsel? Is he going to be led by his fear and by his pride? And he decides to go with fear and pride. He says, okay, I'll stay here. I'll not listen to the wise counsel that I've had. And then it says that Ahithophel, this wise man, after his advice has been rejected, says he gets on his horse, he rides home, he gets his house in order, and then he hangs it. Because he knew that if this king was not going to listen to wisdom, it was just going to end in defeat. It was just going to end in death. And that's what eventually happened to Absalom. You see, regardless of how much wealth Absalom had, regardless of how much people loved him, regardless of the title that he had, if we reject wisdom, it will all end in defeat. It will all end in misery. See, wisdom is more precious than all of these things. That's the first son, that's Absalom. Then there was a second, another son, whose name was Solomon. We heard about Solomon last week if you were here. Solomon loved God. He sacrificed to God more than anybody else. He sacrificed thousands to God. He wanted to be in God's presence. And God comes to him and says, Solomon, what is it that you want? Ask me for the thing that you want. And he has this opportunity to ask for anything. And Solomon says, I need wisdom. You can imagine him looking at his father's life, looking at his brother's life, and saying, the thing that I need most, he says to God, I need the wisdom to know how to lead your people. And God says, please. And God says to him, you could have asked me for anything. You could have asked me for wealth, or long life, or the destruction of your enemies. You asked me for wisdom. And so I'm going to give you wisdom, and I'm going to give you everything else as well. He chose wisdom above all else. And Proverbs is this book that we have that was written and compiled by that son, by Solomon, as a pointer to us to seek after this great wisdom that is so precious. It says that we should seek wisdom like precious silver and search for it like hidden treasures. That's what the first 9 chapters of Proverbs is doing. It's primarily a call to pursue wisdom. After that, from chapters 10 to chapter 31, it starts giving really specific proverbs, and it talks about friendships, and it talks about relationships, and it talks about how to use your money and how to use your time, and all of those things that we'll get into in future weeks. But the first 9 chapters are primarily saying to us, seek after wisdom. It is so precious. Now, why is it so important? I was thinking about this. If you think about the biggest decisions of your life, the biggest decisions of our life that come when we hit those kind of crossroads and we're not sure the right thing to do. When it comes to questions like, you know, should I marry that person? Should I get in a relationship with that person? What career should I choose? What subject should I choose to study at school or university? What career should I go after? Where should I live? Should I move house? Should I not move house? When it comes to these decisions, if you want to know the answer to these decisions, these are not, you won't find the answers in textbooks. There are no, facts are great and science is great, but facts and science and academic training are not going to give us the answers to these questions. At the same time, a great moral framework, that's really important. To seek after what is right and good and to help people, a moral framework is also a huge blessing, but again, the questions of morality, ethics, aren't going to help us to make these decisions. Knowledge and morality will not give us the answer to 80% of life's big dilemmas. For those, we need wisdom. Whether to confront that person who's doing something wrong or is getting on your nerves, or whether to just let it go, knowing which battles to fight, knowing who to spend our time, knowing who to spend our money. For all of these things, we need wisdom. Because if we get these things wrong, if we get these decisions wrong, and we chase after foolishness, or we chase after pride, or we act in a fearful way, if we do all that, then we'll get it wrong. It can have terrible consequences for us, regardless of what degrees we have, or what wealth we have, and what possessions we have. If we get these decisions wrong, we can end up miserable. We need to find wisdom. We need to grow in wisdom. Wisdom is precious. And linked to that is this truth that wisdom is hard to find. This verse talks about it like it's hidden treasure, it says. If wisdom is more precious than facts and information, then that means that regardless of what school or university we go to, even if we study under the leading professor at the world's most prestigious university, it doesn't necessarily mean that we will become any wiser. We'd be looking for wisdom in the wrong place. If wisdom is more precious than morality, then it means that even if we're going to come out of life to like some great moral teacher, you know, these people that sit at the foot of like the Dalai Lama or something, even if we do that and we dedicate our life to that, it doesn't necessarily mean we become any wiser. We'd be looking for wisdom in the wrong place. Where then do we find wisdom? This is the path that Rob started us off on last week. Where do we find wisdom? We're going to find my Bible. Where can we find wisdom? That was the question. It's a good question. In Job 28, there's this great little part, a great little section for asking that very question, where can I find wisdom? And Job talks and he says, I know where to find mankind. We know where to find silver. We know how to find gold. We know how to find copper. We know how to make bread. Every precious thing, we know where it is. But then he says this. I'm just going to look it up. It's Job 28 from verse 12.
where all these things are, but where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its worth. And it's not found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me. And the sea says, it's not with me. It cannot be bought for gold or silver. Then if we skip over. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all the living and concealed with the birds in the air. Death says, I've heard only a rumour of it. And then this is the answer that comes at the end of the chapter. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. This is what Rob was sharing with us last week. This is the road that started us off on. Where is wisdom? It's found in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what it says in Proverbs over and over again. 18 times, in fact, it says, fear the Lord, revere the Lord, respect the Lord, stand in awe of the Lord. That is the path to wisdom. See, where is this precious, true wisdom found? Increasingly, I think that wisdom is the fruit of our right relationship with God. It springs from our relationship with God. It's dependent upon our right relationship with God. You see that in Solomon. You see that in Solomon who wrote and compiled the Proverbs. You see that in his life. Solomon's reign was known for two things. It was known for wisdom, but it was also known for worship. His wisdom grew from his worship. He was the one who had all these incredible sacrifices. He's the one who built the temple. David wasn't allowed to build the temple. It was left for Solomon. He was to build the temple. And so the great climax of worship to God in the Old Testament is found in the reign of Solomon. And that is what developed him into the wisest man in the Old Testament. You see, in Solomon's life, his wisdom increased and decreased dependent on his relationship with God. When he was prioritizing God and seeking after God, you see these wise acts. When he rejected God, you saw that it ends in foolishness and ends in destruction in Solomon's life. And in the book of Proverbs, we see these two things hand in hand: God-centered worship and God-given wisdom. That's why you can go to some of the most respected minds of our time. Why you can go to the smartest atheist on the planet. The person who seems to know everything about everything but doesn't know God. And the Bible says that person is a fool. They're like a fool, it says, building his house on the sand. Why are they a fool? They know so much. There's so many incredibly smart people who don't know God, but the Bible says that they're fools. Because when it comes to the biggest question of life, when it comes to the very meaning of life itself, that person's lenses are godless and empty. That person won't be able to help us when we come to those crossroads, when we're not sure of the way ahead, the way that God wants us to go. When we get that sinking feeling, I don't know if anyone else ever gets it, you know, when we don't know what to do. When we don't know the right way ahead, and we can think it through, and we can come up with pros and cons lists, and we can do everything we can think of, but we still don't know the way ahead. It might just be me. I've got a lot of blank faces. It might just be me. Never mind. I'm giving you insight into my life. You see, the thing is, when I get stuck at those crossroads, and if there's any of you, I won't tell, but when we get stuck at those crossroads, it's not because we need more facts, it's not because we need more intelligence. It's not that we need stronger morals, we need wisdom. I can relate to what the writer says in Proverbs 30. There's a great wee bit in Proverbs 30.
Thank you.
is what the writer says in Proverbs 30. Tell me if you can relate to this. I know that I can. He says, the man declares, I am weary, O God. I am weary, O God, and worn out. Surely I am too stupid to be a man, he says. I have not the understanding of a man. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the Holy One, who has ascended to heaven and come down. Who has ascended to heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has wrapped up the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? The writer there says, I need to know wisdom. And he says, I need to know the Holy One. If I'm going to know wisdom, I need to know the Holy One. And I need to know his son. I need to know, he says, the one who has ascended from heaven and descended. He says, who is it? And we're going to find this wisdom. Who's the one who has ascended and descended from heaven? What's really interesting, what I was thinking about this week, in John chapter 3, we have this really famous conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus is this religious leader. He comes to Jesus in the night. And he's at a crossroads. He's not sure. Who is this man? And what does this? What does it mean for my life? What he's teaching? This man is smart. This man is moral. But Jesus says to him, what he needs is to be born from above. And Nicodemus says, how can that be? How can I be born from above? And Jesus says this little line that I've never really spent much time thinking about until this week. Jesus says, no one has ascended to heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Jesus is saying, he is the Son of Man. He's saying, this question that was in Proverbs 30, who we're going to go to for wisdom? Who's ascended and come down? Who's ascended and descended? And Jesus, word for word, says, I am the one who has ascended and descended from heaven. I am the one that people are seeking after. And Nicodemus would have known these proverbs. He would have learned them as a child. He would have known these sayings intimately, and can you imagine how shocked he would be hearing Jesus claim them for himself? Here is Christ saying, this search for wisdom, the search ends with me. He's saying, if you want to know God, if you want to have this wisdom developed inside you, you need to turn to Jesus Christ. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it talks about Christ as being the wisdom of God to us. That's why in Matthew 12, Jesus is talking and he says, people came from all over the world to hear the wisdom of Solomon, but a greater than Solomon is here. Here's the big idea at the beginning section of Proverbs. If we approach Proverbs as just a list of clever sayings, then that's all they're going to be to us. But if we approach them in the context of a relationship with Jesus Christ, if we approach them with a heart of wanting to worship God and walk with God and honour God and revere God and glorify God, then these proverbs can produce in us God-given wisdom. See, that's the recurring truth which needs to frame the book of Proverbs for us. It's the relationship with God that leads to wisdom. That's the relationship made possible through Jesus Christ. So we're encouraged to focus on Jesus. Let's worship him. Let's fill our minds with his teaching. Let's talk about him with each other. Let's glorify him together. Because if we want to grow in wisdom, we need to grow in Jesus Christ. If we want to walk in wisdom, we need to walk in Jesus Christ. The band are going to come up, but that's really what I want to leave you with, is this truth that God-given wisdom comes from God-centered worship, a God-centered relationship, walking with him. So I wonder if we can stand together and we're going to spend